now comes time.
Welcome to this week's Thoroughbred Daily News Podcast. Very special guest today, and that's Aidan O'Brien. Our podcast this week and every week is brought to you by our good friends at TaylorMade.
TaylorMade salutes Coolmore and trainer Aidan O'Brien on their historic 1-2-3 finish in the arc. This remarkable feat has never before been accomplished in the race's 96-year history. Congratulations from your friends at TaylorMade.
This is Bill Finley for the Thoroughbred Daily News. Aidan O'Brien is undoubtedly the most successful trainer in the world today. The private trainer for the powerful Coolmore team since 1996, he has dominated European racing like perhaps no trainer in history. Based in Ireland, he has been successful all over Europe and on both sides of the Atlantic, winning a remarkable 10 Breeders' Cup races. This year, he will bring to the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita a team that could easily walk away with several cup wins. Overall, he has won 21 Group 1 races, that is, so far this year, none more remarkable than the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, where his remarkable filly Found led a 1-2-3 finish across the wire for the O'Brien stable.
As they come towards the final 400 metres, that Found is working through strongly, so is Highland Realm. Found comes to the front from Postpone. Berdovani starts to drop away. Order of St. George is working through with Dottori too, and Highland Realm coming home well along with One Foot in Heaven down the outside. New Bay as sprinting down the outside but can't get into it, and it's Found who's gone clear. Found by a couple of lengths from Highland Realm, going to press the stable mate all the way home, but Found wins the Arc Riley. Highland Realm second, Order of St. George for third. What a day for Aidan O'Brien.
Welcome, Aidan O'Brien. Thanks for spending some time with us on this morning here in the U.S. It's evening in Ireland, and I'm sure you never get sick of hearing that race call. In all your wildest dreams, did you ever imagine that you could finish 1-2-3 in the arc? And do you consider that the greatest achievement that you've had in your career?
Yeah, no. Good morning, Bill. I suppose it was one of those like unbelievable things, really, that obviously, like you said, you could not believe it would happen. Like, to win the arc alone is just so difficult, Bill, but for to finish 1-2-3 was just incredible, really. And but like, we're obviously very lucky, obviously, by Galileo, and that's an unbelievable advantage, really, Bill. But for that to happen, like, obviously, we couldn't believe it, really, no.
Well, you sort of led to my next question, because not only is this accomplishment a great one for yourself and your entire team and the Coolmore team, but here in America, we don't see that much of Galileos on the racetracks because they primarily run in Europe. But we do know what a phenomenal sire he is. And the first three finishers, as you mentioned, all were by Galileo, a horse, of course, that you trained. What makes him such a great sire, and what does he pass on to his offspring that he continually produces some of the best horses in the world?
Yeah, I suppose, Bill, before he came to us, he was always considered very special in Coolmore. And like, obviously, from the first day he cantered there, you could see why. He's unbelievable action. Unique, really, how low he gets down when he used to gallop. He used to get right down on the ground, and his head used to go straight out and straight down and out. I suppose it's what the very unusual thing is the determination that he puts into his horses, which is very unique. Like, we've obviously never seen any stallion ever it's such a trait. Physically they're great specimens and very athletic, good movers, but it's their mental strength and their determination which makes them very different, really.
So, Aidan, when you were training him, and I don't know if you even think about these things or think that far ahead, but did it ever cross your mind that not only is this a great racehorse, but he someday is going to go on to be a great sire? Could you see that even when he was racing?
Well, he is a unique specimen physique-wise. And like, obviously, John always had an incredible amount of faith in him. Like, obviously, John and Sue and Michael and Dorian owned him, but when he came to us from Coolmore, like, he was the horse that John always asked about, you know. So he was considered always mega special, really, I suppose, from day one. I suppose at the time he was born, like, obviously he's out of an arc winner, and he's by that as well, and then to do what he did himself, just made him like really unique, really.
And Aiden, at this point now, switching gears and focusing on the upcoming Breeders' Cup, we know who you've pre-entered, but of course the final entries are not out yet. You and the stable and all the word we've heard from Coolmore is that Found will be running in the Breeders' Cup Classic, not trying to repeat in the turf. As we speak today, is that still the plan?
Yeah, it's not really decided, Bill, totally. Like, obviously, John and Sue and Michael and Dorian and Derek and Gear will decide that as late as they can. But there is every chance that she could run in the Classic, but it's not really decided. Obviously, we have Highland Reel for the Turf Classic, and obviously she ran on it before. And it would be obviously really into the unknown. But what makes her very unique is she's incredibly determined and very versatile. She's a strong traveller and she stays very well. So I suppose all those things I think is what you need for a dirt horse. But obviously she'd be putting her foot on for the first time, probably obviously against the best Americans that are around, you know, so American horses. So it's obviously a big ask, but it is possible without saying it's definitely going to happen. Yes, Bill.
Okay, well, I have to ask you, can you put a percentage on it? Is it 50-50? Is it 75-25? Are you definitely leaning in the direction of the Classic?
Yeah, listen, it was hard to put a percentage on it, but I would definitely say, like, obviously when she was entered, it's definitely getting like serious consideration, and obviously there's a big chance that the Classic is where she'll go, without saying that it's written in stone, Bill. And I think, to be fair to the lads, until they're really happy, I wouldn't like to say or do that, but I think there's a big chance, you know.
Well, terrific. We whatever race she shows up in, we will certainly be looking forward to seeing her race. Now, Aiden, because you ran her after the Arc at Ascot, where she was beaten, the Breeders' Cup will be her third race in 34 days. And in this modern age, American trainers really wouldn't even try something like that. It's a little bit different in Europe, where people don't space the races out quite as much as they do over here. But is that at all a concern that she, again, will be racing for the third time in 34 days?
Yeah, listen, obviously she's a unique mare, Bill, as you've seen what she did last year. I think she could have had four races in 5 weeks last year, something incredible, like on the way up to the, before she won the Breeders' Cup Turf, you know. So she's a very unique mare. She thrives on races. I've never seen any turbid more genuine than she is. Like, she just absolutely empties the tank every day you ask her to do it, and comes back and will do it time after time, you know. So she is the epitome of what a Galileo is, really, you know.
Aiden, the fact that you were considering and perhaps even leaning towards running Found in the Classic, what does that say about Highland Reel, the horse that you have entered in the turf and is among your 1-2-3 finishers in the Arc de Triomphe? Is the whole idea of running Found, perhaps in the Classic, show that you have so much confidence in Highland Reel that this one can win for you in the Breeders' Cup turf?
Yeah, we were we've been very happy with Highland Reel this year, Bill, and obviously we were over the moon with his run in the Arc. He's tactically, he has plenty. He's a lot of tactical speed. He gets a mile and a half well. He handles fast ground, and he's in very good form, obviously. So, we're very happy with him, and we think the Turf Classic is going to suit him well.
Okay, now, Aiden, from the time you first ran in the Breeders' Cup to present, there's been a big change in European racing. The creation of the Champions Day, which is, again, where Found ran last time out, run at Ascot. And has this caused you to run fewer horses in the Breeders' Cup? Has it changed your mentality or the way you look at the Breeders' Cup at all now that you have such an important option as well in your own backyard in Europe?
No, I don't think so. Like, obviously, the Breeders' Cup is right at the top of our schedule every year. Always is and always has been. Always has been and always will be, I'd imagine, because it's the World Championship races. And whatever race is on the way up to that is if it suits to take them in for the horses, we will. And if it doesn't, we won't. But, like, obviously, the Breeders' Cup has been, like, right at the top of our our focus all through the whole year, really, Bill.
Now, Aidan, you will take horses all over the world. We were just mentioning earlier on another program that we do about you running in the Melbourne Cup. So I don't imagine that the Breeders' Cup being in California, in that it's further away from your base than perhaps if you have a Breeders' Cup in New York or Kentucky, is a big deal. But is it a little bit different to get the horses to acclimate after they have to travel so far, maybe go into a different climate where it'd be so much warmer in California than I imagine it is this time of the year in Ireland? Is it any way an extra challenge for you as a trainer?
I listen, obviously we look forward to going to California. We look forward to going to the good weather when it gets, obviously, the autumn here and the weather is changing. So I would think it has to be something that you look forward to. And obviously, there is changes, obviously, when horses' coats are changing and they're coming from a cold climate to a warm time. But I think that this is something we look forward to. And horses are very adaptable, Bill, really. And the world is on a small pace now. And obviously, like you said, you can fly to Australia in a couple of days and they're ready to go, like that. We feel that they're very adaptable, really.
Siphonic continues bottled up down toward the rail, and now there's room at the inside for Siphonic and Jerry Bailey, and the field turns for home at the top of the stretch. Officer is being tested today by Siphonic, and Siphonic puts ahead in front. Here comes the European champion, Johannesburg. He's charging hard. Repent is coming fast, too. It is Johannesburg. Repent and Siphonic.
Well, Aidan, I imagine that's another race call that will bring a smile to your face. That was your first ever Breeders' Cup winner with Johannesburg in 2001. And looking back on it, that was 15 years ago. You're still a young man now, but you were quite a young man back then. What kind of thrill was that to win your first Breeders' Cup race? And perhaps you find it a little ironic that your first Breeders' Cup win was actually on the dirt.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, really, listen, he was an incredible horse, very versatile. He was a very strong traveller. He quickened very well, and Nick gave him a great ride. But he was a great horse, really. To be able to do that, and I think he obviously never set foot on dirt before. I think he won in four different countries here before he went over. He won in Ireland, won in England, and won in France. And obviously then to go and win in America. So listen, he was a great horse, real pro, a lot of speed. It was one of those unbelievable days, really.
And now, Aidan, you have won so many Breeders' Cup races since then. You're the leading Breeders' Cup trainer among European trainers in history, and you've won the turf five times. I say this as a compliment. You almost make it look too easy. And a lot of Americans believe that not just your horses, but all European stakes horses excel here because the foreign grass horses are better than our grass horses. Our stars are the dirt horses. Do you agree with that? And do you ever feel that it's easy, of course, to win a Breeders' Cup race? I know that's a silly question, but I'll ask it anyways.
No, sorry. All Breeders' Cup races are very difficult to win, and you wouldn't want to take any of them for granted at any stage. I think maybe more racing on the dirt than you do on the grass, but I give a very, what we've seen, a very high standard of grass horse as well. I suppose it's a lot of American racing culture is on the dirt, and I suppose that's where the majority of your races are run. And obviously in this part of the world, the majority of our races are run on grass, you know. So I wouldn't think it's any less competitive. If the good horses arrive and turn up, and we watch you through the year, you have some very good grass horses as well.
And now we've talked about Found and Highland Reel, but you have so many horses coming to the Breeders' Cup. Is there any one horse that you think might surprise people or exceed expectations among the horses that are not your brightest stars, who might perform the best among that group?
No, I'm not sure. Obviously, all their form is out there and everyone knows it. And obviously, we can never be sure. Obviously, they have to travel over and everything has to be well with them. And then they have to do their canters on the track and all that has to go right. And then they have to get good draws. And I suppose all their form is very out there for them all. And obviously, some of them, you'll have an idea after a day or so. Some of them will be blooming and maybe some of them won't. But I think their form is very there to see. Obviously, the two-year-old form is like they're after racing in all the top races. The horse on the turf and sound and Highland Reel, we know about Alice Springs in the mile. Seventh Heaven and the Phillies race. They're all well-known horses, Bill. But like, we're looking forward to seeing them all run, really.
Aidan, looking down at the list of races that you've won in the United States, goes well beyond just the Breeders' Cup races. The Arlington Million, you've won twice. You've won the Man of War Stakes, the Queen Elizabeth Challenge Cup Stakes, the Grade One at Keeneland. You've won the Secretariat Stakes 4 times, the Shadwell Turf Mile 2 times. Are there any American racing or major American races that are still high up on your list of races that you covet that you'd like to win?
No, sure. I think they all are, Bill. All your races. Like, we'd love to sometime be able to compete in them. But it's, like, obviously, you know, it's very competitive racing, you know, and it's just to get the right horses to be ready at the right time to go and compete. Like, obviously, that's what we always aim for. But we always take the horses as they come and then try to pick the races for the horses rather than the horses for the races, if you know what I mean. So, like, when the horses come, we always try to pick the races that suit them, you know. But, like, obviously, all your big races, like here, like, we'd love to be able to be competitive in and try a race in them.
And Aidan, first of all, you're dealing primarily with grass horses, though, again, we go back to Johannesburg, that you have won American races on the dirt. And also, the seasons are different in Europe as they are in the United States, where your racing really shuts down in the winter. And what I'm leading to is a Kentucky Derby starter or a horse that is going to come in and be a major player in the Kentucky Derby. Is that anything you ever think of, or is that anything that's possible from your stable someday?
I think it is possible sometime, but obviously, like you said, we will have to start earlier when we're doing that. And like our season, really, the first classic doesn't kick off here until the first week of May. I think you're about the same with the Kentucky Derby, but I think that with the difference in the Kentucky Derby, you probably have to have a few preps going into it because it's such a tough race, and they probably need a few preps on your dirt before they can take off in it. I think that's what it looks like anyway.
Racing on now towards the final furlong, and Justice Frederick now and Donnac O'Brien have moved up to just head Old Crazy Now, being followed then by Leo Minor on the outside. Racing now towards the final furlong, and Justice Frederick, Leo Minor towards the near side, and Old Crazy Now inside the last 150, and it's over on the far side, Justice Frederick and Donnac O'Brien riding out Joseph's first winner officially.
Well, you're not the only person in the O'Brien family who apparently has an ability to train racehorses. That was the first ever win for your son, Joseph. It happened in June at Gowran Park. Not only did he win that race, he won 4 races that day. And in one of them, he beat his father, you, Aidan O'Brien. Aidan, you must be very, very proud of him.
Oh, no, absolutely delighted. Bill, we were over the moon. Obviously, first time out 2-year-old as well, so we had a horse in it that we really liked, you know, so obviously I can't tell you how delighted we were, really.
And does he ever ask you for advice? Will he come to you? You guys are not just father and son now, you're competitors, but will he ever come to you and say, Dad, how about this? Should I do this with this horse? What do you think about how this horse is training?
Oh yeah, and absolutely, all the time, every day. Feeling like, obviously, I'm delighted about that, you know. So all the time, like, he does that, and always was like that, and always did, really, Bill, you know, so which is great.
And Aidan, he was also such a good jockey, and, you know, you two were quite the combination, father and son, as the trainer and the jockey, but obviously one of the things that everybody noticed right away is he's quite tall for a rider. Is that the main reason he gave up riding? He was just too big?
Yeah, absolutely. He was big, and I suppose it was very hard to keep his weight. To ride at 9 stone was very difficult for him. Obviously, it was when the time came, it was the common sense thing to do, really.
Well, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be more O'Briens hitting the winner's circle as jockeys. As you heard in that race call, Joseph's first winner was ridden by his brother and your other son, Donica. Tell us more about him. How old is he? And how often will he be riding for you and Joseph?
I know, obviously plenty of Bill. Obviously, Donoghue's only 18, and this is the first full season I think he rode, and he was champion apprentice this year in Ireland. So, obviously, that was Donoghue's first Group 1 winner for Joseph in the Maidler as well, so that was a massive day. So, listen, obviously, he'll be riding plenty, hopefully, and really looking forward to it, really.
Now, is there also a fear that he too may eventually grow too big to be a rider?
Ah, yeah, and absolutely. Donoghue is tall as well, but obviously it's great experience, and we're delighted. He's a massive part of our team, really, Bill. You know, so and delighted how everything is going.
Well, we certainly shouldn't leave out your daughter Sarah, who apparently had a very brief riding career. As I looked it up, she only had two mounts. Why is she not riding anymore, and what does she want to do with her future?
No, Sarah rode as an amateur, and she's in college as well, so she's doing veterinary in college. So that just curtails her riding a little bit, and Anna is riding as an apprentice with Donoghue.
Okay.
So is doing very well as well. So I think Anna was fourth to Donoghue in the apprentice title this year. But obviously, Donoghue is riding at the top of his game this year, really.
Now, does Sarah want to be a horse racing veterinarian? Is that part of her future? And might she join the team as a vet for you guys?
I think so, Bill. That'll be the plan. Again, and still ride as an amateur, but part of our vet team is right, so which will be a massive help to us as well.
We'll find out more about the Aidan O'Brien team after this message.
At TaylorMade, buyers have found more Greatwood winners, more Great and Stakes winners, and more Breeders' Cup champions than any other sales agency in the world. What will you find at TaylorMade?
And welcome back, Aidan. And every time you win a major race, you're very appreciative, and you make it well known how much credit you give to your staff, or the lads, as you call them. And we know that you can't do this all by yourself. Could you talk about the people who work for you, and why is it that you always go so far out of your way to make sure that they get recognized?
No, but that's the reality, really, Bill. Like, obviously, we're a very small part of a very big team of people that work in a total unselfish way, day in, day out, to make it happen. From people from all the way, so many different people, the farm people, the gallops people, the riders, people who look after the horses, the people in the yard, the vets, the farriers, the people before they're conceived, when they're conceived, when they're born, when they're broken, when they're being reared up along. There's the mayors being looked after, and the people in the office. There's so many people involved in the team all the way, Bill, and like I said, we're very, very privileged to be the small part we are. And like, obviously, it all starts with obviously John and Sue and Michael and Doyen and Gane and Derek and Gay, you know. So that's where it all starts, and like, they put in an awful lot every year, and like, we feel so privileged that they have the confidence in everybody to do that year in, year out, and that's where it all comes from. So it is a massive team from all the people, all the parts, all the links and the chain, all the way along, you know. So it's there's no, that is the pure reality. There's no doubt about that, really, Bill.
Now, Aidan, you don't strike me as somebody that takes anything for granted, but I wanted to ask you this. If you look at your career, you happen to train some of the greatest racehorses in the world and some of the greatest racehorses that ever lived. You train for owners who have an almost unlimited budget and seem to be very good owners in the sense that they're not meddlers or people who are looking over your shoulder. Do you ever take time to reflect on your career and to think how lucky you've been?
Oh, no, that's it, exactly. Like, we're so lucky to have had, like, to be training for John and Sue, and like I said, Michael and Doran and Gay and Derek. Like, they're the people that make it happen. Like they're the best owners in the world, and they understand everything. Everything is discussed on a daily basis. All the decisions that are made, everyone is part of it, and obviously we're very much guided by them, you know, and there's no doubt in the world about that. It's very hard to believe that any other owners anywhere in the world would have the same feel or passion or understanding of us than they have, you know. So we are so lucky, like, it's incredible. But we don't take that for granted for 1 minute then, really, you know. Like, we would very appreciate it, really, like, feel very grateful for us.
Well, very good. Well, Aidan O'Brien, thank you so much for taking some time out from your busy evening in Ireland, as it here is the early afternoon in the United States. We look forward to you coming to the Breeders' Cup. We look forward to seeing Found and all your other great racehorses that are going to take part in another great edition of the Breeders' Cup this year at Santa Anita. And thank you for being our first guest on the TDN podcast, brought to you by TaylorMade.
Really appreciate it, Bill. My pleasure.